Okay, shalom. We're continuing in the story in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, and a very interesting aspect tonight, a little Kabbalistic aspect, where Rukuk is going to discuss the different levels of the world and the different levels of life. And so the Gemara Masechet Shabbat reads as follows. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu leGavriel. Hashem said to Gabriel, the angel, Lich urashom al mitzchan shel tzadikim tav shel dio. Go and make a mark of ink on the foreheads of the tzadikim, of the righteous, shelo yishletu behem malachei hachabala, so that the angels who are going to go and punish the evil, so they don't punish the righteous by accident. And on the other hand, on the foreheads of the evil, put a sign of blood. In other words, that everyone should know, that the angels should know who's what. Amra midat adin lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this is interesting, because this is the justice, aspect of justice, who says to God, Ribono shel olam, ma nishtanu elu mielu? Why are you saving these and punishing those? What's the difference between them? Now, the obvious question is, what do you mean, what's the difference between them? These are righteous, and these are evil. These are deserve punishment, and these don't. So what's... it's hard to understand what midat... And out of anyone to ask that question, midat ha-din is the last one who should ask that question. Right? Midat ha-din is the aspect of righteousness, of justice. And according to justice, it's very clear who is righteous and who is not righteous. Amarla, so Hashem answers the character trait of justice, halalu tzadikim gmurim v'halalu rishayim gmurim. These are the righteous, totally righteous, these are totally evil, and that is the difference. And we already saw the continuation of the Gemara, but Rav Kook is going to deal here, it's sort of a continuation of what we saw last time. Let's look together in source number 2. This is in Enaya, Rav Kook's commentary, Masechet Shabbat, chapter Hey, Piska Kaf Aleph. Okay, you can open up if you want. Elu anashim, these righteous people, omnam hayu ne'nachim ve'ne'nakim ala to'evot ha'na'asot. As we saw in the Gemara, that the righteous were complaining, they were kvetching about all of the bad things that the evil people were doing. Aval before lo hotziu et tov levavam, but they didn't bring that admonishing, that rebuke. They didn't go out and rebuke the evil people. Lo heru mecha'a poalit. They didn't activate their feelings. And we spoke about the last couple of times how Rav Kook explains why rebuke is so important. And even if you know that the other people are not going to listen, it's important to rebuke, obviously in a way that is going to be accepted. And today in Israel, today where there's a machloket, doesn't make a difference. You don't have to get into the question of how much changes should be made in the judicial system. But the obvious bottom line is that everything should be done with love, through love and with patience, and not through burning up the country and refusing to serve in the army or things like that. Rav Kook explains, so again, Piska Bet. Imken, hayitaron shelahem, the advantage of the righteous, ba mitzad hatov haganuz imahem beseter levavam. If the righteous did not rebuke those who were sinning, so it turns out that the bottom line is that they kept their feelings inside, and they're not seen outside. Uveze halo, haskirael yonas sokeret ad machboel levavam shel rishaim ayoter gmurim. If we're already looking inside, hare, as we saw last time, every Jew inside is righteous. So what's the difference between the righteous and the sinners? In other words, we're getting to understand the question of Midat Adin, what is the difference? Because if we're looking inside, not at the outside actions, hare, the righteous also didn't do the rebuking that they should have done. And if you're looking inside at what they thought, well, look a little deeper inside and see that the sinners also have good thoughts and have a good neshama. Uvahem gam ken nimtza shelo rak bechira chofshit legamrei lirisha garma lehem et matzavam arava mekulkal. If you're already looking inside at the sinners, Ari, it's not just free will that causes them to sin. There are a lot of different factors that cause a person to act, whether for good or for bad. And we've spoken in the past about nurture versus nature. And Judaism complicates it a little, in also logical sense, because that in addition to your genetics and your education, there also is a certain amount of free will. So how do you divide these three factors? Obviously, nobody knows how to divide them. But if so, if you're looking inwards, maybe a person, and God again, knows how to judge inside, maybe this person really isn't at fault. And we mentioned last time that a Sanhedrin cannot look inwards. A sinner, somebody who is a murderer, he can't come to the Jewish court system and say, I'm a Baal Tshuva. Right? I regret what I did. Right? You look at the actions. A person is judged by their actions. On the other hand, according to Midat Adin, if he says, well, these righteous people, if their actions was that they didn't rebuke, so we have to look inside. So if we're looking inside, look a little deeper, and you'll see that even the sinners are good. In other words, there are a lot of different rivadim, a lot of different levels on which we live. Many of the factors that causes a person to not act properly are, as we've said in the past, the Chazon Ish, even, who's the major posek for the Charedim, he is the one who mentions at the beginning of Yoredeya that sinners today don't have the halachot of sinners, because it's not their fault. And most of them didn't even have Jewish education. And even if they had Jewish education, there are so many things today that turn a person off. It's not really their fault. Not only that, like we said, nature, nurture, there are so many different factors. And being that on our topic, we're not talking about a person's actions, because again, the righteous people also were not perfect. They also didn't rebuke. So we're looking at what they thought. Well, if we're looking at what they thought, so look a little deeper. So now we understand what the angel of justice is telling God. What's the difference between the righteous and the evil? If you're not looking on the outside, so and you're looking deep, so look really deep. Now, to summarize, there are basically five different levels of on which we live. The first and most external is our actions, that a person is judged by their actions. That's how we usually judge ourselves, that's how we judge others, that's how a Sanhedrin, a justice system, is judges. A little more inwards is rebuke, where there still is that outward action of rebuking, where you're expressing orally, which is sort of an action, but it's not really an action. We spoke about this before, that the Torah differentiates speech is not an action, right? You only, the Beit Din would punish someone if they eat pig, because that's an action. A Beit Din doesn't punish someone for talking Lashon Hara. God does, but a Beit Din doesn't punish someone for lying, right? Because again, speech is a lower level than action. So a little lower level than speech is thought. Okay? And that's what these tzaddikim, they're krechtzing, they're kvetching, they're not rebuking, so that is a third level. Now there's a fourth level, that of the nefesh. The nefesh is, I'll use the term nefesh, and I don't want to use the term soul, because soon we're going to talk about the neshama, which is the soul, which is different. So the nefesh, that is what Rav Kook is referring to here. That the nefesh is activated and influenced by a lot of different factors. A little deeper than that is the deepest level, that of the neshama. And that's what we say every day, Elokai neshama shen natata bi tohurahi. The neshama, that godly spark, that is our real essence, which is godly. And that even if a person acts like a Gentile or acts like a pig, he cannot be a pig and he can't be a Gentile, because your essence is a godly neshama. Now, in between nefesh and neshama, there is what's called ruach. What is ruach? The easiest way to explain it is that it is the bridge between nefesh and neshama. And the more we understand what is the difference between the two, so we'll just understand how the ruach connects the two. Now, there's no one as good as the Ramchal to explain very clearly what is the difference between the different levels. You know, maybe we'll already jump to paragraph Gimel Hay, because most of this is from the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato and Derech Hashem, where he says, you know what, let's do source number 4. This is from Derech Hashem, Chelek Gimel, Piska Aleph. V'inei b'nefesh ha'adam. Again, we're talking about the nefesh, let's call it the more physical soul, right? Which is expressed in this world. V'inei b'nefesh ha'adam yivachanu b'chinot v'kochot. There are certain powers and drives and aspects that we see are part of the nefesh. Kigon, hadimayon, our imagination. When we imagine something, when we create, when we draw, when we write poetry, when we compose, that imagination is part of the nefesh. It's not the body. It is the nefesh. It's part of the soul. But as we'll see, we'll call it the lower aspect of the soul. Vazikaron, memory, also, that is part of the nefesh. Hasechel, intelligence, a person's IQ, a person's EQ, that is part of the nefesh. Varatzon, a person's will or desire, that's also part of the nefesh. Kulam kochot benefesh, mugbalim bigvulim yeduim upoalim bidrachim yuchadim. And we know how all these things work in life. Now, maybe we'll just, before we get to the Ramchal, we'll also give another little introduction. I've told before the story of when I had the zchut of learning every day with Rav Eliezer Waldman Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva of Kiryat Arba. That's where I learned most of the writings of Rav Kook. We learned every day, every morning before davening, about 45 minutes. And we learned Rav Kook Bekiut, as much as you can learn it quickly, every day another chapter and a book and another book. And after about 3 years, I told, there was one other guy who learned with us, David Shirel from Hebron, maybe somebody knows him. And I said to David, did you ever notice that no matter what we ask Rav Waldman, his answer is always the same answer? Yesh madrigot shonot. It's talking about different levels. And as you'll see, that's mamash our topic today. So he said, no, I didn't notice. I said, well, tomorrow, one of us will try and think of a question, and you'll see that's what he answers. And in fact, we were learning something, and it seemed that Rav Kook was contradicting something that he had written in a different sefer. And I asked Rav Waldman, that seems like a contradiction. And Rav Waldman answered, no, it's not a contradiction. Yesh madrigot shonot. It's referring to different levels. And both of us cracked up. We started laughing. And Rav Waldman asked, why are you laughing? So I said, well, just yesterday I noticed that no matter what the question is, you always answer the same answer. And Rav Waldman answered, Boker Tov Eliyahu. You finally noticed? Hari, the answer to most questions in Jewish philosophy and Jewish thought, and by the way, it's not our topic today, but a very high percentage of the Tosfot's on Shas, the answer is exactly this. The Gemara asks, Ayin Masechet Brachot, it says this. And in Masechet Megillah, it says something else, and it seems to contradict. The answer is here it's talking on this level, here it's talking on a higher level, or a lower level, and Yesh Madrigal Chonot. And in fact, whenever your children ask you a question that you don't know the answer, your first thought should be, hey, maybe it's talking about different levels. And that, in fact, answers most questions. The same thing, what is Kabbalah based on? Kabbalah is how God created the world, the inner understanding of the world. And what is the inner understanding of the world? Ari Hashem is so high and great and everywhere. And how could Hashem, as if it were, mitzamtzem, fit himself, squeeze himself into a physical world? And the answer is, there's what's called in, I know Rav Aryeh Kaplan, who is a physicist, he uses the term, a step-down mechanism, right? When you want to use an Israeli appliance on American electricity, or vice versa, sometimes you need a transformator. How do you say that in English?
Transformer.
A transformer. There you go. And what it does is it takes that high voltage and lowers it to a lower voltage. And then you have another transformer which lowers it to a lower voltage and a lower voltage and until it gets to this world. And that is through different stages. That is exactly how God created the world, that he starts up here, unlimited, and then it goes down. Now this is what's called in Kabbalah the 10 Sfirot, the 10 spheres, where it starts with Keter, God's crown, Chochmah, Binah, Gdulah, Gvurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut. We don't have time to go into the difference between each of the 10 stages, but they are going from the top down. And not only that, if you really want to get into it, each one of the stages has its own 10 stages. And then another 10 stages. In other words, there's Keter Shebe Keter, and then there's Chochmah Shebe Keter. And anybody who looks in the Kabbalistic Sidurim, even a lot of non-Kabbalistic Sidurim in Sfirat HaOmer, that talks about the climbing of the 49 steps to Torah. So it talks about the seven stages of each seven of the seven Midot that we're talking about. Now, when we're talking about the four different worlds, there are four basic worlds. It is Rashi Tevot, abbreviation, Abia. Atzilut, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Ours is a world of doing. Above it is a little more spiritual world called the world of creation, and then a little higher world, a higher form of creation, Bria, and then Atzilut, that is above this world. But even within those four worlds, there are four times four. There is the first stage of the first stage, there's the second stage of the first stage, the third stage of the first stage, and the fourth stage of the first stage, and then you go on to the second world. Bekitzur, everything is a matter of stages and step-down mechanisms. And the same thing with the nefesh and the neshama. The neshama, let's see the Ramchal now, in source number 3, Aleph. We ask that Hashem, in the Yamim Noraim, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the high holidays, we ask that Hashem's godliness be revealed. Until all of the creation will see the truth of God. That every creature will know that God is the one who made him. V'yavin kol yitzur ki ata yitzarto. And then every creature, another word for creature, again, it's a lower word of creature, will know that God created him. V'yamar kol asher neshama v'yapo. And then anyone who has that neshama, the godly soul, they will say, they will proclaim, because only man can proclaim. Only man who has a godly soul can speak. We will proclaim, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech Umalchuto Bachom Bashala. The God of Israel is king and rules over everything. Paragraph Bet. Vine, Madrigot HaNivraim Shalosh. There are three basic levels of creation. We said before, sometimes it's divided into 10, sometimes we talk about 7, sometimes we spoke about 4, we also mentioned. Now we are going to talk about 3. Ma'asim, but it's always the same principle. Actions, or creatures, a certain type of creature. Yitzurim, another type of creature. And Bruim, another type of creature. Bivchinat shlosha olamot. And they correspond to the three different worlds. As we said, there is Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya. Our world is the world of doing, Asiya. And getting back to our paragraph tonight in Rav Kook, the Gemara and Masechet Shabbat that we're learning, we generally judge a person by his actions. And that's why our world is called the world of doing. Because, again, you could speak a certain ideal, but if you act differently, you're a hypocrite. Everybody knows that you're judged really by your actions. Okay? Uchenegdam, yeda kol pa'ul, v'yafin kol yetzur, v'yomar kol asher neshama b'yapo, v'omnam. Malchuto b'chol mashala, in the end, God will rule over everything. Hakavana shlita gmura she'adon sholed b'kol, she'afilu hara'a machzira letova. That in the end, even the bad, even those who choose bad, it will turn out that they are good. Now, when we talk about the godly neshama, the neshama of an evil Jew and the neshama of a righteous Jew is the exactly same neshama, right? It's like a spiritual DNA. And so one realizes it and one doesn't realize it. We spoke about that last time. That obviously, if you also have your potential and also realize your potential, that's a higher level than if you just have the potential. Okay. Paragraph Gimel. Haneshama shel ha'adam mitchaleket lechamesh bechinot. And as opposed to what we said before, that there are three levels of the soul, if you really want to be more accurate, there are 5 levels of the soul, going from the bottom up. The nefesh, which we said before, is like the go-between between the neshama and the body. There is that bridge. What is the bridge? As we saw in source number 4, that bridge includes our memories, our intelligence, our creativity, our imagination, our desires. So each and every one of us has different desires, which are influenced by our nature and by our nurture, because the nefesh is part of this world. Now, above the nefesh is the ruach. It is a higher level of a soul, a more spiritual soul. And a little higher than that is the neshama, the godly soul, which is totally godly, totally pure. But above that is chaya, and above that is yechida. What are these terms? We're not going to go into the small differences, but in general, these are pashut, 5 different levels of the soul. Now, what concerns us are the bottom 3, because that is what we always talk about. That is the nefesh, and the neshama, and the ruach, which combines them. Now, when a person leaves this world, so his nefesh stays here, but his ruach goes up to the olam ha-neshamot. And that is what God educates and judges us. And that is what goes on in heaven, or chas v'shalom, the opposite, in hell. That is regarding the ruach. Because the nefesh is really this part of the soul which is really connected to this world. The neshama is the eternal, perfect soul, which is really going to be in the Tchiyat HaMitim, in the revival of the dead, right? That's really godly. The ruach is the go-between, the step-down mechanism between the nefesh and the neshama, just as the nefesh is the go-between in between the goof, the body, and the neshama. Okay? In other words, there are all these levels of step-down mechanisms, and Rav Waldman said, and as Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, all of Kabbalah basically is to understand the different levels that there are in the world. And that's what we always talk about when we learn Dorot HaTshuvah. And Rav Kook draws the line, the zigzag line, where life is made up of constant improvement. There are ups and downs along the way. But the whole idea of life is to rise to a higher level. That's what life is about. Different levels, different stages. That's what our choices are about, to rise to a higher level, or chas v'shalom, to slip down to a lower level. Here we'll also should mention, we read about in Parshat Mishpatim a couple of weeks ago, at the end, there is a mitzvah that says, lo ta'ale b'malot al mizbechi, that in order to light the, rise up to the altar, to the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to have steps. You have to go up on a ramp. And that's, by the way, how Professor Adam Zartal, one of the ways that he knew that the Mizbeach situated outside of Shechem, between Har Gerizim and Har Eval, how did we know that Yehoshua ben Nun was the one who built that? First of all, the Carbon 14 tests dated it as belonging to the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. Second of all, they found that all of the ashes and the bones that were there are kosher animals, and it was the only altar in the Middle East that didn't have dogs or cats or mules or donkeys. Right? Usually, as soon as we think of a sacrifice, we automatically think of oxes and sheep and goats because, well, that's kosher sacrifices. But really, why not? Why not give a horse? Why not give a dog, right? And the third reason how we know that that is, was actually the Mizbeach that was actually built by Yehoshua ben Nun 3,300 years ago, is because it's the only altar in the entire Middle East that has a very clear ramp going up. And that is the mitzvah d'oraita. Now, what is the idea of a ramp? I heard this about 40 years ago by Rav Shlomo Riskin. It says the beauty of a ramp is that, as opposed to steps that we're talking about, are stages where you climb or go down steps, a ramp, if you're not climbing, you're sliding down. And that is the idea of spirituality, that there is no such thing, even though we're talking about different stages and different steps and different levels, there's no such thing as staying on the same step. Because if you're not going up, gravity is pulling you down. And the Zohar says in many places that the laws of the physical world are to help us understand the metaphysical world. And in the physical world, the law of gravity is that something doesn't stay status quo, right? If you don't use your muscles, you lose your strength, right? If you don't utilize your memory, you lose your memory. And if you don't climb up, you're going to slide down. In Silat Yesharim, brings a whole bunch of psukim, there are at least 10 psukim, in Sefer Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, that talk about the problem of laziness. And it all, the basic bottom line is, Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, says that if you leave your field untended, it's not going to stay status quo. It's going to grow weeds. And so even if we're talking about different levels, Hashem created the world in a way that, yes, there are different levels, but it's not really a ladder, but it's more of a ramp. That if you're not going up, you're sliding down. But getting back to our topic, all of life is about climbing back to God in the world that He created by climbing as if it were down to us. And that is what life is about. And that is why the answer to most questions is that it's talking about different levels. And to sum up what we saw today, the Midat Adin says to God regarding the tzaddikim, who were potentially tzaddikim, but they didn't rebuke. And the Midat Adin justice is telling God, well, if they didn't do the action of rebuking, and you're just saying, well, theoretically, they at least know what's right and what's wrong, they at least have good thoughts or not good thoughts, once you're looking inside, all right, the way of God is to look even more inside. That the nefesh, that is not really their fault. If a person sins, usually what Freud says, he had a father who was violent, or a mother, or a kindergarten teacher, or somebody who didn't educate him properly, so it's not really his fault, so how can you judge him? And not only that, if you look even deeper, you look at his Jewish soul, which is godly, so for sure you can't punish someone like that. In other words, life is lived. And existence runs on many different levels, also simultaneously, and also that's what life is about, is to climb those levels. So yes, a person is obviously judged by his actions. On the other hand, what Judaism is telling us, and that's really what Kabbalah is in a nutshell, what you see is not exactly what you get. There are a lot of different, deeper levels on which to understand the world. And that's why when somebody learns the alphabet, the deeper meaning of the alphabet, he knows that aleph is not just a letter. It's a letter which symbolizes God. And it's from the word aluf, champion. And its shape is the shape of God's name. And it's aleph lamed pei, which is 111. And every way you look at the aleph, it returns you to number one, to God, the champion of the world. And the same thing with the Bet, and the same thing with Gimel, and the same thing with everything in life. You have to live and understand life, knowing, don't just accept it at face level. Children, they take it to an extreme, that all they understand is what they see. As we grow older, we should realize that there are also intentions, there are also thoughts, there's also creativity and all these things that we're talking about. And there's also nefesh and ruach and neshama. And b'kitzur, life is complex, but it's important to know how it works.